Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Goal!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Hot and straight after that victory over Guadalajara in the first leg of the semifinal. We're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything else America should have done better in this matchup. And we'll look ahead into the second leg of this semifinal in the Estadio Azteca. And today, I'm not by myself. Fortunately enough, I am joined today by none other than my co-host, Chris Rivera. Chris, how are we after the Maragon show?
Personally, I'm feeling good. I know some frustrations that we might have seeing how Maragon had to save us in a lot of occasions. But personally, you know, I'm happy with the result. I think Fidalgo plays 100% next game, right? He didn't play this game, but he plays next game. And I think we control the midfield a lot more. And I personally feel we dominated that midfield today. And I'm feeling confident. Nervous, but confident.
Interesting, because a certain other co-host here would say that the midfield was not necessarily one in this game. And that would be Christian. I think Christian would argue against that. And I'm a little bit lenient towards his side. I didn't think we dominated the midfield as maybe a couple of people intended. We actually did. I don't know if I saw something different and if you perceived it a little bit different, but I don't know. It felt a little shaky, even with Aquino in there.
It was shaky, but I felt if you had to choose a side which won the most, I felt it was us. I know Aquino did have very shaky moments, but it was enough to get the W, and I did feel we had more. I don't know how the stats are, right? But personally, it felt that we had more possession, and I feel that we were able to push them back more. And I think with a Fidalgo there next game, you know, it felt very, not exactly similar, but very, like, kind of similar to the first game that we had where Richard wasn't there. We put in a Jonathan Dos Santos, and I still felt that you didn't see a Nene Beltran there or his partner up there. And I don't even think we saw much of a Pocho Guzman out there as much as they say he impacts games.
I agree. A couple of their key players didn't really showcase what everyone was expecting them to do so. And I do think that we shut them out in moments of the match, but I do believe we were very nervy, especially in the defensive side of things. I think every time they attacked, I kind of had my fingers and my toes crossed because I just could not bear to see this defense try to defend anything. It was just, it looked like in any moments we were just going to crumble into shambles. And if it wasn't for Malagon, who played out of his skin tonight, I don't think this America walks away with the results that we have in hand right now.
And now you see why I've been very confident in Malagon and Sendejas. You know, I think it's fair to say that I was one of the first people that was very, that was in their boat, right? That was hyping up these signings. And I know many people were, well, oh, let's wait and see. For me, I believed in their potential. You see Sendejas, right? For me personally, before the game, I was like, you know what? I'm cool with Leo Suarez starting. He's not necessarily a bad player, but I felt like Sendejas has been out for a good minute. And I felt Leo Suarez, you know, is going to give us the same thing that Sendejas gives us. And I felt like Sendejas was, you could see the impact that he has right away. And Malagon, to me, I was really hoping that he'd show out, not just because he's Mexican, but because I'm not a fan of using foreigner spots on goalkeepers. I've always had this belief that Mexican goalkeepers are enough. You know, you either develop them in the academy or you find one like Malagon, right? So me personally, I'm very happy with the result and their performance. And hopefully we're able to repeat next game.
Absolutely. And I think if, I know Dylan didn't have the privilege of watching this game live, I'm sure he'll catch the highlights a little bit later. But for those of us who are very advocates of the position, Malagon actually had a fantastic game. Gave me Ochoa vibes back in 2007 when he when he was stopping everything coming his way in that semifinal against Chivas as well. So just amazing to see that performance. Although we did have a little bit of a scare. It looked like Oscar Jimenez was going to have to come in after like the 10th minute of the match because Malagón almost popped his shoulder out in the first crucial save of the match, which I thought to myself, oh boy, if
that's the game was
just,
over.
Just give Chivas the game. Yeah, no, same. I was like,
I told my dad, I'm like, oh, if he comes out, because the commentators were like, oh, Richard is asking for a sub. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this can't be happening. Because, like, all due respect to Oscar Jimenez, right? I know there's some people that do believe in him. I don't believe in him. And I think if we're talking about the midfield being shaky, Oscar Jimenez was going to be very shaky. And it would have been.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself in these games, you need someone that's up for the moment and is not going to crumble to the pressure, right? Like Malagón did not by any means crumble, but it did. I think Oscar would have conceded one or two goals in this game that maybe would have cost us something different. But I mean, ideally, we're in a situation thanks to Malagón. And like we said, hats off to him and hats off to Sendejas. I think, like you mentioned, you know, he comes in second half. I didn't think Leo Suarez had a bad game.
I didn't either. But you see those movements, right? That Leo Suarez doesn't necessarily always make.
Absolutely.
You know, and that goal, you see, like, I was like, he's not going to shoot. He's going to look for the pass because it's a very tight window that he's going to try to shoot in. Now he went for it and it was perfect, like perfect shot, perfect everything. And for me, I don't think Leo Suarez goes for those type of shots or those movements to be open.
No, absolutely not. So that guy's a little bit more gifted, technically speaking, and he's a little bit more friendly to being able to kind of get himself out of tight situations. And of course, like the commentator said, right? It helps that the scouts of the U.S. men's national team was also there to, you know, kind of paint a pretty picture to them and be like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be your starter for that final four in Las Vegas against Mexico. So it's good to see Sendejas doing Sendejas things. And then, of course, the celebration with I Can't Hear You to the Chivas crowd.
I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, and perfect for us, right? That's exactly what we want from their former players. You know, we saw Massa kiss the badge and we've seen other players in the past that have gone through there do the same thing, you know, and that's exactly what we want from Sendejas, especially from a crowd that really tries to discredit his form and how good he is, you know. It's good. I'm just glad, you know, that he's able to shut them up, you know, with this goal, and hopefully he shuts them up next game as well.
Absolutely. Let's hope that's the case right there. You were talking about possession and kind of the stats. I got them right in front of me here. So America ended the game with 52%. Oh my God, I can't even finish my sentence here. 52% possession. And we had a total of 18 shots and 18 shots, 9 of those, so half of those were on target. So that's just kind of your big old highlight of stats right there. It wasn't the most dominant of games. I think we had a little bit more of, like I said, the big chances created, the total amount of shots and you know, possession and all that stuff. But regardless of, I think this game was still very tight.
Yeah, it was very tight. But then I did see a lot of the same flaws that they had from the first game. They're too dependent on the 1v1. I don't know if you agree with that, but for me, it's not having a 9 that's going to be there, right? And having Vega and Piojo and Ocho try to do everything one-on-one. You can see why we won and why they're not able to score. Same thing with the game in league, right? You can see their weaknesses, and I think Tano understands it. I feel maybe if Hidalgo plays, we're even score more. I don't know if that's too much confidence. Like I said, I personally wasn't like that upset with the midfield. I think they did a very good job. But with Hidalgo, it's a whole different midfield, and it's even better. And I think we have more opportunities, and I think that's another reason we didn't see Henry completely show himself completely, right? You kind of see him kind of be ghost in moments. I think Fidalgo brings that movement that pulls players away from Henry and able to make him just alone, you know? And by the way, now that we're talking about like opportunities. I don't know about you guys, but personally, I thought Cabecita's goal was a goal. I don't know if that's a bold take,
I see where he's a little bit offside, but the argument can't be made. Which, yeah. I mean, it sucks that the goal got called.
You only saw one angle from it. That's the thing that kind of annoys me. Telemundo only really put one angle. But I'm saying, like, those type of offside calls are just so annoying because it's like, come on, bro. It's an uña. Like, it's a little hair. You know, like, let it go through, bro. Like, you can't sit here and tell me it's a huge advantage from him being offside, you know?
Yeah. I'm unfortunately, we don't have Premier League budget, so we can't draw the lines the way they do in their VAR situation. But I guess we'll just have to give it to Chivas in that instance. And it sucks that, yeah, that goal didn't go through. But actually, I would make the argument that America woke up after that goal, after that call. I think they smelled blood and they actually started, you know, attacking more, giving Chivas a little bit more of a battle in the midfield, because let's face it, the first opening minutes, it was all them, 100% all them. We were soaking up the pressure. It looked like we were just kind of overwhelmed by the situation or the moments, but Chivas really gave it to us in the first opening minutes of the half, and America wasn't just unable to kind of assess or really make any leeway to try to combat all the pressure. And I think after you, because it is a mistake, you know, by Chivas defender to kind of just not attack the ball properly and give Cabecitas the opportunity to go in there and score that goal. After that, America, I think for me personally speaking, wakes up and starts looking a lot better.
And if I'm not mistaken, after that, we have two very ugly misses by Henry and Valdez, right?
Correct. Yes.
Right. I know Henry had the opportunity right after where. I just think I think the field is still very ugly from the Canelo fight. I don't know if you could tell from your screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The pitch was in no good condition.
Yeah. So I think that's why you see a lot of these, you saw Henry not have this balance. And then you see Valdez also. I told my dad, que le pegue con la punta and it goes in. But I think he was just trying to have that, like I said, the balance, you know, try to get the ball and he loses it. But you're right. After that, disallowed goal, it becomes like I saw a pissed off Cabecita after that. I think for him, is like they stole me this goal, and I saw him just. I do think second half he became ghost, but first half after that offside call, I think he does wake up, and that's exactly what you want from Cabecita. You want a pissed off Cabecita because if Cabecita's in the game and he's dribbling and he's running and he's all over the place. No, I don't think anybody could stop him. And I think same thing with Valdez. You know, I think Valdez was probably our best player today.
I agree. Valdez actually ended up playing like the number 10 that he needed to be, orchestrating passes, making things happen, taking on players, and then, you know, could have had himself a wonderful 1v1 situation if it wasn't for Chepito Sanchez there kind of pulling him back and kind of obstructing him with a chance to go on that amazing run. But like you mentioned, you know, it was an opportunity that America kind of conquered and then they took away. And because of that, you saw the team wake up a little bit more. You saw a more hungry Cabecita. You saw a more reluctant Diego Valdez on the ball. And you saw them being a little bit more aggressive. And that's what America needed, because for the first open minutes, it was all Chivas. The possession just wasn't there. And I don't know. This team was just not playing like the team that we know that they can play. And it was just frustrating me. But, you know, what do you say we got to give it to Tano on this one for putting Aquino in that midfield and maybe not playing to Chivas' game and kind of keeping them at bay?
Well, I don't think that was part of the game plan. I think Fidalgo it wasn't 100%. I would like to know what exactly is the issue, right? Because I think it's important to have him if you want to be this, you want to just close it out completely, right? The last thing you want is Thanos saying, all right, we're going to defend from the 90th minute, because I think that's when you throw away the game. And I think that's when Chivas has more opportunity in eliminating us. I think, so I won't give him credit because I don't know. I don't think it was his game plan, but I will say I don't know. Well, now I was about to say Jonah looked better in the second half, but he didn't. But Aquino was a good choice, and I do think we didn't see a Pocho Guzman because of him.
And you know what Aquino was actually frustrating me for the long spirit. And I was telling you guys in our own chat, I was like, I give Aquino just 10 more minutes at the start of the second half and put on Fidalgo. But I think obviously then America gets the goal and Tan Ortiz kind of sees maybe you don't need to bring on Fidalgo, right? So from that point on, I think you see in America just kind of coast and manage the game. And I think that's a very important thing to note take in this game. America managed this game properly. We didn't get like overexcited. We didn't lose our heads. We kind of just stuck to our game plan and we actually just played out to play. And we weathered the storm. We absolutely just did what we needed to do. And because of it, I think we get the result at hand. And, you know, as just as easily as they could have scored like three or four goals on us, we could have easily have done the same to them. Obviously, now the scoreline favors to us going to the Azteca. But ultimately, I think the management of this game, and I applaud Tano, and I applaud the players as well for being able to do so, was proper. But we got a clean sheet for crying out loud, you know?
I was about to bring that up when we're talking about Malagón here. We got a clean sheet. Like, and I know we've been asking for that consistently and throughout the season, and we finally get in an important game, right? I know Chivas fans are probably feeling like, how do we go in there and score two and not receive one, right? That is a huge task for them. So, and from that perspective, I think our fan base becomes more comfortable, right? It's still 90 minutes, and I'm still nervous because you never know what could happen. But the result and just knowing that Fidalgo is most likely back in the starting 11 next game and he's going to play gives me that confidence and that everything will be okay.
Absolutely. And we'll talk second half in just a little bit, but second leg in just a little bit. But like you said, there's a lot of things to kind of be ambitious and be grateful about and thanks to this America performance. So let's see what they're capable of doing. AP Junior saying going to trigger Ivan, but Malagón over Ochoa. Hey, I mean, if that's the case and, you know, Malagón wins the chip, I mean, then by all means, I mean, he's absolutely amazing. I mean,
he deserves his flowers and win the beat, yeah, you know?
No, yeah, of course. I mean, it's I'll tell you this much. I mean, he surpassed even my expectations. So, and that's saying a lot because, Chris, you know how critical I am of that position in itself. But Malagón, my goodness, is he just playing off his skin? And I just hope he can continue this form because, you know, and he's not the youngest of goalkeepers, but he can cement himself and keep this form, then he has a bright career in America, right? I don't know how much in Europe, but maybe well, that goes a little bit now.
Knowing Tano, he would open the doors for him. I think that's one thing that someone.
No, but I'm only just saying that because he's 27 years old. Is, you know, he
25?
He's 27.
27. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, we've seen older players go, right? And then goalkeepers.
Ochoa is 37 years old going back to Italy.
I think America always has that connection with European teams and they're okay with selling. I'm not a big fan of it because for me, like Ivan always say this, club over country, right? I'd rather just keep all of our players and let them just play forever in America as long as they're doing good. Like, I don't care if they have to leave to Europe for the national team. Like, they could figure it out. There's other teams that they could send, not just us, you know? So for me, like, I'd rather keep Malagón until he's just falls off the cliff, right? But yeah, I mean, it's good that we're able to find a Mexican goalkeeper because you don't waste a foreigner spot and you're able to use a foreigner for other positions, right?
Of course, absolutely. So, I mean, kudos to Malagón. Hopefully, can continue that good stretch of form because we're going to need him because these next couple of games, right, if America's able to make it to the final, you're looking at two very good oppositions, whether it's Tigres or Monterrey, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. There's still a lot to take care of. There's still 90 minutes and there's still a big game at the Estadio Azteca left. I mean, before we jump into the second leg of that game in the Azteca, what are your key takeaways from this game, Chris? If there's any that you haven't mentioned.
Well, it's the fact that we were able to be the better team in the midfield, right? I don't know if we see eye to eye to on that, but for me, I thought we were the better team in the midfield, and it's not just the fact that it was Aquino in the first leg, in the first game in season, it was Jonathan Dos Santos, right? And these are guys that are not getting huge minutes, right? Today, a rumor came out saying, Cruz Azul already sent, or not a rumor, it was actually confirmed, right? That Cruz Azul sent an offer for Pedro Aquino, right? And right away, what did me and AJ say? Oh, he could leave, right? Like, whatever. And then he starts, and it's like unexpected, and we're like, oh, man, like AJ said it. He's like, I'm expecting 5 minutes and him getting a card, like a yellow or a red, you know? And it's exactly the perspective I feel most America fans feel about Aquino. And you go in, and maybe it's not complete domination, right? But it is enough comfort that next game, now we're looking at a Fidalgo and a Richard. And how is that going to look like? You know, if we already beat you with a Fidalgo and a Fidalgo and a Jonathan Dos Santos, now we beat you with a Richard and an Aquino, how is our starters going to look like in the midfield? You know, and for me, that's the biggest take that I got. You know, I think. Now, if we see Richard and Fidalgo, I'm expecting just complete dominance in that midfield. Maybe not complete dominance, actually, but still enough to take the W, you know?
Yeah. And the key word is take the W, because America cannot give themselves the luxury of doing what they did against San Luis. So, absolutely need to take care of everything. So, hopefully, they're capable of doing that. So, you're right, though. It's important to highlight the fact that the midfield did a good job in whether or not we agree on whether they were able to win the battles. I will say this, though, that they managed to kind of weather the storm whenever Chivas did kind of overextend and try to kind of carry a little bit more people forward. So I will give them that. I think my key takeaway from this is that it's frustrating that America can't play a well-rounded 90 minutes, but it also is kind of, in a sense, I think, calming and nice knowing that even if we play ugly, we're able to walk away with victories. And I think that's what makes a championship side team a candidate, because this America side did not play the best. I told you defensively, it looks like whenever they came at us, we just folded. I mean, there was instances where Israel Reyes just absolutely looked like prime Nestor Araujo. And by prime, I mean like terrible Nestor Araujo in an America jersey. And then there was just instances and moments where we looked lethal going forward. And it was Diego Valdez at the helm of it. So it's really two polar opposites, Chris. But it's nice to know that regardless, they evenly balance themselves out and America is still capable of walking away with a victory.
It is nice knowing that we have an eraser at goalkeeper, right? I call him an eraser because it erases any mistakes, right? And that's exactly what you want. As an Ochoa fan, Ivan, you know that they always blame the goalkeeper. But it's nice to know, like, at moments, those big moments, you have an eraser. Ochoa was an eraser. I know a lot of people don't agree with that, right? But for me, you look at these defensive mistakes and you could block 10, but if they score one, it doesn't mean that the goalkeeper failed. It means the defense been failing the goalkeeper, right? But you see Malagón just consistently blocking everything. And I think it's just nice to know we have an eraser, because imagine we never switch Oscar Jimenez. Do we even make it to Liguilla? Right? Those type of questions come into your head. But when you have Malagón, just like I said, a complete eraser. Like we win 1-0 and you're not talking about the defense, those mistakes. Like we are, but generally you're not really talking about those mistakes. You're kind of just like, okay, cool, Malagón got us. And that's exactly how most of us feel.
And like you mentioned, it's a good feeling knowing that it's secure and safe in the back. So hopefully we can continue that good run of form and keep going into the next round. I mean, we highlight kind of everything right there in regards to the first leg. So, you know, kudos to America for being able to pull the victory. get the clean sheet. And I know they mentioned that, you know, it was quite the rough environment for America. Very little yellow jerseys out in the estadio. So it was 100% Chivas. So it's
but you heard them. It was I don't know, in the second half, you heard the Americanismo in that stadium to the point where they start booing them. They just sing loud, bro. Like now imagine in Azteca, right? Where it's gonna be majority.
It's gonna be 100% yellow. Like 100% yellow. The size.
They always say that in La Ciudad de Mexico there's more Chivas fans, but I don't think you're gonna hear or see that in El Azteca.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. And let's jump into that now. Let's talk about the game on Sunday at the Azteca. This game is gonna be kind of around the same kickoff time, 7:06 or something like that. Some weird time that America plays against Chivas. Let's see. They actually have it scheduled here for 7:00, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, and then of course our friends in Central, that's 9 p.m. This one's gonna be live on TUDN, so make sure you guys are tuned in for that one. What can we expect from this America side in the second leg? We talked about game management and being able to pull off a really good game management at the Estadio Akron. At the Estadio Azteca, what needs to change from the America side that we saw against San Luis and the Azteca to this America side that we're going to see against Chivas for the second leg? What needs to be the difference key maker here?
Oh, well, we're comparing it to the San Luis game. A lot of things, right? You can't look dead out there. You can't treat this as just another game. You know, the San Luis game was very ugly because it felt like everyone was just standing still and letting them go through. And you can't do this against Chivas. You gotta let the atmosphere just go through your veins and just move, like be everywhere, fight everything. You know, it can't be one of those things where you're just standing still, confused to why they're attacking better than you. And in that San Luis game, you know, I was watching a video on YouTube, and some guy said, I think, I forgot what was the quote, but that San Luis was one of the worst attacking teams against in the season, right? And they scored on us too. Like, they shouldn't be doing that. And the same thing with Chivas. Like, you see that they're very dependent on the 1v1s. That means you have to win those 1v1s. You can't let Vega go through. You can't let Piojo. You can't let anybody go through. You have to be attached to your player. And I think that's what we have to do in this game. I think we're capable of doing, because I think we're going to have more of the ball control. That's what I expect. But you just can't be nothing. Not even 10% of what that San Luis game was. It has to be exactly how Clásicos are played. And you have to go in there and die for the colors, right? Just go all out.
Absolutely. I agree with you in that statement that you need to see this game out. And America cannot go into this one thinking they have an advantage just because they won the first leg. Because that's exactly what happened in San Luis, right? They had this comfortable advantage and they thought to themselves, okay, we're just going to coast home. We're going to ride it out. We have a 2-goal advantage. They need 3 goals, blah, 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 blah. And you saw how difficult they made life for themselves. I think now this game was a wake-up call, just as much as the San Luis one, to kind of put them in the direction like, okay, we have nothing secure yet, right? And so America is in a position where their own fate is in their hands. You're not playing the comeback kid story. You have an advantage. It's not like the situation you had against Toluca last season. So be smart about the situation and go out there and take care of business. Go out there like if this is the game, like your game that you have no advantage whatsoever. You just go out there, you perform, you score some goals, You get a W, because you can't give yourself the privilege of keeping that game 0-0 and stretching it out for as long as you can. You have to go out there and you have to kill the team off. You have to kill this game off. And that has to be the mentality going into the second leg, because if it's not, then I'm afraid that we might repeat the same mistakes that we did against San Luis.
Yeah, it has to be. The mindset has to be, it's 0-0. The last game didn't matter. You have to go and beat them, right? Because even if we lose 1-0, we go through, right? that shouldn't be the mindset. It shouldn't be defending. And I'm gonna be honest with you, like a lot of the criticism Tano has does make me a bit worried, right? What if he goes in and says, oh, Aquino played a good game, I'll put him in again. What exactly happened to Jonathan Dos Santos when he had a good game against Chivas and then he put him against León, right? You can't get confident. You have to stick with Richard. You have to stick with Fidalgo, and you have to have this mindset of my best players are going to start and they're going to go for the goal. They're going to look to dominate. That's exactly what we've been doing all season. There's no reason to get comfortable now because, you know, we were chasing first place in the top four or whatever. Now we're chasing a championship. So go and dominate, right? You can't rely on the table. You can't rely on last game because Aquino started, he did good. No, you got to have the best starting 11.
I 100% agree. You have to go out there and you have to play your game and you have to play your best players. And that means a Fidalgo in for Aquino. As good of a game as Aquino had, nothing is giving you the security that he's going to be able to perform that same way in the second leg, right? And Richard and Fidalgo have been playing with each other for the entirety of the season. Give them the opportunity to close this game out and to see this through. Because you're going to need them at 110% for the final if you're able to go into the next round. So don't disrupt anything, right? Continue to do what's worked for you. And, I mean, we could be in a situation where America fields the absolute best 11 that they have available to them, which has not been the situation for the past couple of games. I'm talking about a Sendejas on the right-hand side. I'm talking about a Henry Martin finally fit up top. We're talking about a Fidalgo in the midfield. We're talking about your back line 100%. Like, America has always had maybe one or two players missing for whatever reason. Now you have an opportunity to field the best 11 that you could possibly have and thinking this could be my starting 11 for a final. Go out there, put the pieces together, let them play their game, and hopefully manage to dominate and score a couple goals.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do next game. You have to have, like you said, you have to have your best players out there. Like this Liguilla, you've been missing one, two, or you know, like individually, you've been missing the Henry, right, against a second league in San Luis, or Sendejas too, right? And I know the Sendejas, Leo Suarez, I think most people are more comfortable, right? Because it's not like Leo Suarez is a bad player. I know a lot of people questioned when he came back, but he's never really been a bad player. In my opinion, he's never really been a bad player. But Sendejas does bring more to the table. And you need that creativity. You need those movements that he brings, right? Henry and Viñas, there's a huge gap. I know Christian probably doesn't agree with me when it comes to that, but there is a huge gap when it comes to movement, when it comes to goal scoring, to assisting. There's just a lot that Henry brings to the table that he doesn't get his flowers for. Maybe he gets them now, but he didn't really get them back then. And then, like you said, the defense, right? You can't have Araujo out there. Like, as frustrating as Cáceres and even Reyes at times become, like, they're our best defenders. And I feel like it just, the chemistry of those starting 11 is way different than when you add other players. Maybe other players are maybe better in the second half, but we've seen that sometimes they come in starting and it's not the same thing. We need Cabecita to show up, right? Like he's been doing. We need Valdez to show up. And we're confident that they will. I don't know if you have the same confidence in other players from the bench.
Yeah, no. I mean, you saw Roger Martinez come in, and that was someone that I kind of honestly wanted to see in this game after like in the 80th something minute because I thought, you know, he could retain the ball. He can frustrate Chivas. He can kind of put it in the corner and draw a foul or, you know, take on a player or two and maybe create something last minute for us. But my goodness, was he terrible out there. Like, absolutely terrible. Every ball that he got, he absolutely lost. Like, the one thing he was sent out to do, he couldn't even properly do it. So, no, I don't have confidence in anybody from the bench coming in and being able to perform at a starting, like at a starter level, you know? And even with Cabecita, how frustrating of a, you know, relationship I've had, you know, trying to support this guy. There's games where he absolutely just is stunning and has an amazing game. And there's other games where he's just so frustrating to watch. And this was literally him in this final match. I mean, in this last match that we saw, which was, you know, first half amazing. Second half was walking.
Yeah.
Like, just frustrating all around. But you're right, though. You can't give yourself the privilege of thinking that the start, that the bench players are going to be able to kind of fulfill the role of a starter if the starter is available, right? So just like we mentioned, keep your best players out there, let them perform, and just, you know, continue to do what you've been doing all season long, which is winning.
And to add to the Cabecita thing, maybe bringing in a Sendejas to start, right, opens up the field for him, because when he has open space, I think he's going to always score, right? That's how it always feels like. The goal he had against Chivas in the season, right? You gave him that space, he does a little two steps and he just shoots it and it goes in. Even when the goal that he had that was offsides, right? He was by himself. Like, no one's gonna, once he can't, no one could catch up to him, he's scoring. And that's exactly what I feel we're gonna need, right? We're gonna need Sendejas to be able to pull his mark, because Sendejas is another player that you don't want by himself. Sendejas is that player that you give him that space, he's gonna make a pass, or he's gonna shoot with his left in a tight angle like he did today, and he's gonna score, right? So we really need them all, like, 100% focused. You know, Valdez, you saw him all over the place. And the thing about Henry, like I said, that I personally always liked, he pulls his mark. He's very similar to Oribe Peralta. He's not a dick. Like typically, you don't expect him to be this high volume scorer, right, that he had these past two seasons. But one thing that he's always been able to do is make everyone else open. And I feel like you saw that today. Sometimes he tries to make someone open and they look for him to pass the ball. And I think that's just a bad communication. But either way, what you want is Cabecita to have those spaces, right, to end up scoring. And I think it's going to be very crucial for the next game.
I agree. I think the role that Henry, you know, does and play, he is detrimental, because especially when he plays it with his back to goal, he opens up channels, he opens up spaces and all that stuff. So Luis asking us here, what is the status on Fidalgo? Sultan Ortiz actually just spoke right now in his press conference, said that Fidalgo wasn't at 100%. He did not want to risk him. He was not going to risk any player that wasn't 100% fit. So that's why you saw the change in the lineup. And as we mentioned already previous, with Fidalgo taking the bench and Aquino taking the starting 11 position, we obviously think that's going to be the difference. And that's going to be different for Sunday. And then, you know, we'll go from there on out. How does America approach this game, though? And maybe I think I've asked this question already in a different matter, but I guess what I'm trying to ask here is, how does America win on Sunday?
Winning the midfield, I think you have to keep Pocho Guzman, Nene Beltran just completely ghost, just beat them. I think they are very dependent in those 1v1s, right? But when you kind of force them to just look through the wing, no one's ever there in the middle to score for them. At least that's how it feels like, right? They don't have this nine that's just gonna scare our defense. I think you need to win the midfield. I think Fidalgo needs to have those dribbles that he has, right, and go through tight windows. And I think you're gonna see a Cabecita more open because of that, and you're gonna see a Henry Martin more open because of that. I think winning the midfield is key, having possession, and Valdez has to be key again, in my opinion. I think Valdez is the motor of this offense. If he's going, everyone else is going. So I think it's going to be between the midfield, winning possession, and Valdez being able to be very influential in the attack.
I agree. And I think we've mentioned it time and time again, right? He had to be the player to show up this league. I know Henry too, and maybe Henry Acevedo de Vera, but Valdez, when he gets going, the rest of the team does too. So like you mentioned, it's important to keep that rhythm going, and he is detrimental for that. So we'll have to wait and see in regards to that sense. I agree, you know, and for me, it would also be managing the game. You know, Chivas is going to have to come at you, and I promise you, they're going to come at you with everything they got in the opening couple of minutes. So you have to find a way to disrupt that, You know, you have to find a way to not have to weather the storm and wet and soak up the pressure. You have to be smart about how you go about it and manage tactically how to neutralize your opponent. And so I think that's the homework that Tan Ortiz is going to have to do. And then from there on, that we mentioned.
You know, one thing, though, I do think that Tano actually likes that they're going to come and start hot, because I don't think Chivas has the players to continue that for 90 minutes. You saw that this game, right? They start off hot, but they don't score. And then you see a huge drop off. It's like they focus too much in those 10, 15 minutes. And then you see us pushing them back. It's like they're not built for attacking 90 minutes. Maybe I'm wrong, right? I don't watch Chivas game like that. But based off these last two games that we've had with them, I don't think they're capable of just attacking those 90 minutes. I think they're going to look for the early goal. And if they can't find it, they're going to go back. And if they don't go back, I think they're going to get countered very ugly, right? You kind of seen it in that Valdez run, right, where they pull him back and if he's free, it's a goal, in my opinion, right? I think those moments are going to be there more than ever if they do try to attack way more than they normally.
Yeah, and we'll have to wait and see exactly if that's the case with Chivas, but I do think that will be their intention, and so then you have to go out there and match the intensity by all means, but also be smart about how you defend and how you approach the game as well. So it'll be interesting to see how we kind of counter all that, but I do expect us to be able to go out there, play a game, have a good run, and get a couple of goals in, and hopefully put this game to bed early so you don't even have to, you know, worry that much into the second leg. What's your score prediction for Sunday?
Maybe 2-0, 2-1. 2-1. I do think I want a 2-0. I maybe it's even more. It really hard to really tell, right? Because it's a Liga game, it's a Clásico, but I think if we have the right starting 11, the starting 11 that we always have, I think a Chivas that gets too confident going up is gonna be disaster. So it's a potential goleada maybe, but I'll go with a 2-1 because I do think it could be a very, very tight game. Because I'm sure you've noticed that even when they give us the opportunities, it does become very, we miss a lot of shots, right? Today you kind of saw it, that we miss shots, and I think maybe it becomes one of those games where we're just missing shots, but I do think a 2-1 is a comfortable prediction.
Okay, nice. 2-1. AP Jr. agrees with you as well. 2-1.
Yeah, my bad for the long answer, but it's hard to predict these type of things, right? But I think if you look at it on paper, it could be very ugly for them, like, and it could be very pretty for us. But then you see these misses and all that. So I go with a 2-1.
No, I mean, that's fair. That's reasonable. 2-1 is, I think, accurate. I'm actually going to go with your other prediction. I'm thinking 2-0, right? I think I predicted that in my preview for this one, for the first leg. We could have definitely gotten a 2-0 advantage, but we didn't. But they could have easily have had themselves a couple of goals as well, which they didn't. So games play out in a funny way. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'm hopeful for another clean sheet, which I think is detrimental. But I also do think that America is able to make a couple of goals past Wacho, and, you know, celebrate onwards and upwards to a final, which is the next step for this Dino project, right?
So yeah, it's like me and Christian said last time, right? It's when we recorded it with Dylan. Hopefully, that San Luis second leg is the only ugly game that we have, right? Usually, we have ugly games in Liguilla, but it's usually just one, and usually the one is the one that eliminates us. This time we pass through, hopefully it's just that game, right?
I agree. And hopefully it is. And that's the case. And we can put to bed all of the ghosts of Liga past. And I think that has to be the case for America, right? Push forward, get the game done, job secured, on to the final. and on to, you know, potentially winning that 14th title that we also have been looking for. Anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it up here?
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about the transfer rumor about Pedro Aquino and Cruz Azul. I don't know if you want to touch that. We could touch that afterwards.
Yeah, we could probably touch that afterwards because I think right now moving pieces is going to be a little bit different. I know Cruz Azul is a little bit of an early bird here, with especially with the rumors coming out that they're going to sign Salcedo and all this stuff. But we'll see. We'll see how much traction that Aquino offer has and whether or not how much America can get money-wise. But we'll see what happens in that sense. But, you know, for anyone that hasn't been aware of it, Aquino potentially could be making a switch to Cruz Azul, but we'll talk about that more so whenever we get to the to the end of the season and start talking transfers.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. I think that's the only news, right, that we've had.
Yeah,
regarding the club. Yeah. So.
Well, all right then.
We'll touch that afterwards, maybe Monday or Sunday night, depending on our schedule.
Correct. We'll see about it in regards to that sense. But all right, I think we've kept the folks up long enough already. It's a little bit late for a school night for a couple of you guys. So we'll get you guys going with this. Hopefully you guys are excited for the second leg. I think a lot of Americanistas looking forward to, you know, seeing this America side beat Chivas and walk into a final. Whether or not we'll be playing Monterrey or Tigres will be left to be seen. But first things first, you got to take care of homework at the Estadio Azteca. So hopefully the Azteca is filled, like Dylan said, 200% yellow. And America is able to walk on into the next round, the final phase, the final. But first, you got to take care of it at home against Chivas. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for making the time out, for staying up late. And unfortunately, it wasn't a good night for the Lakers, but hey, it was a good night for Las Águilas de América.
Yeah, I mean, America's the love of my life, and I'm sure everyone listening agrees with that from their heart, right? So, yeah. I'm glad America won.
Same, likewise. And we'll make sure you guys stay tuned into our Twitter handle at Eagle Eye Podcast. AJ has been doing an amazing job covering the games for us with the highlights and the gifts and the goals and all that stuff. So shout out to AJ for always doing amazing job there. And the Lady Aguila is also going to be playing in the Liguilla, I believe, tomorrow. So keep an eye on that. Like I said, AJ's got you guys covered. So make sure you guys follow us at Eagle Eye Podcast, both on Instagram and Twitter, so you guys are up to date with everything in the world of Las Águilas del América. Until then, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la América. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.